the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, we're going to chat about Jordan North and the other radio presenters in the castle, not the jungle, on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here this year. We'll talk to one of Jordan's former flatmates, who's also a radio presenter himself that you might know. And we'll also talk to the former Radio 1 controller, Johnny Beerling. After 64 years, he's returning to his roots as a presenter, doing a new Sunday night show for Serenade Radio, playing big band music. He's on the podcast a little later.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
Before all that exciting stuff, though, we've got the usual matter of Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, for a little chat. Hello, Roy.
Hello, Stu. How are you?
Not too bad this week. What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
I've been watching your new best friend on the TV.
He's not my new best friend.
Is he? I thought because of all the tweets you did about him and the photos that, you know, you two hugging each other, I thought he was your new best friend.
I've known Jordan for a few years. I remember him answering the phones and making the tea and stuff at Five Live. Oh, that was years ago. And then I bumped into him a few times since, including at the football. Because he's a Burnley fan, obviously, and me and my son go to football at Burnley. So,
and we interviewed him at the Radio 2 at Hyde Park, didn't we, a couple of years ago?
We didn't interview him there, but I was chatting to him there. He was there watching with some of his mates. So, yeah, we were having a catch-up with him there. And I saw him somewhere else recently as well. I can't remember where it was. But he was going to come on this podcast, as we mentioned last week. This week, he was going to be on the Radio Today programme. And instead, he's gone to some castle in a place we can't pronounce in North Wales near Rhyl.
That's just rude, isn't it?
I know where I'd rather be.
Exactly. So who have we got for, you know, as backups this week, did you say?
So we've got the former Radio 1 controller and a talk radio presenter who happens to be one of Jordan's mates.
Hey, that's all right then. Yeah, there are a couple of good substitutes.
They'll do. They'll do. I've been watching a bit of that as well. Quite enjoyable. I enjoyed the moment that Victoria and Jordan met again for the first time in a few years. And he introduced himself as, "I'm Jordan, I used to make the tea for Victoria. And now I'm on Radio 1.
This, by the way, in case anybody's listening who doesn't know what we're talking about, this is I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which started on ITV. Because I'm the kind of person who would be like, what on earth are they talking about? Because I don't watch TV that much at all. And I'm only watching this because on catch up because you know these radio guys are in it, so yeah, that's to explain it just in case. But yes. I presume everybody knows what we're talking about.
Probably, So Jordan North from Radio 1 is on it. He used to work at Rock FM, and as we say, when he was a student, he was a kind of assistant at Five Live going back a few years ago now. And Vernon Kay's on it, who used to be at Radio 1 and Radio X, and Victoria Derbyshire as well.
Is that your dog or mine?
I think that was mine. Don't know why my dog's barking at this time of day. Surely there's not another Amazon delivery coming.
I don't have a dog, so it definitely is. I gave you that one, but you didn't take it. Never mind.
Okay. We've also been watching the radio festival this week, or last week, that was all online. Did you enjoy some of that?
I did, actually, yeah. I've got to admit, I don't generally like these kind of things. There's been a few really good ones. But I watched this, and I mean, some of it I couldn't because, as we mentioned last week, it kind of clashed with the whole duties at home thing. But from what I saw, and it was probably about 70% of it, it was very good. Yeah, very, very good. Very proud of everybody. Not that they're mine, but very, you know, pleased with everybody's work on that. And I could never be a teacher, could I? Yes, you're doing very well. You're doing a very good job. But yeah, I thought it was good, is what I'm trying to say.
And well, excellent.
I'll watch it again.
Well, you can on catch up. And if you didn't get a ticket, it's a nice segue there, because if you didn't get a ticket for the festival, if you missed it all, you can buy a catch up pass and go back and watch it. Catch up pass. Or catch up pass. John Holmes's bit at the end, they kind of took lots of bits of audio from all the sessions through the week and skewered it in the style of his Radio 4 programme, The Skewer. And you can listen to that on this podcast feed. It might have dropped into your podcast app already. If you've not listened to that, it's worth a listen. It's lots of editing of clips to make people say things that they didn't actually say, etc., which is very funny.
And there's a quiz at the end, which you won.
I know.
Thank you. There was never any doubt in my mind that you were going to win that. And if you didn't win it, then I would have had to replace you with the person who did win it. So I'm glad you won because I quite like you.
Oh, that's and, kind. Quite like
and you. And
you
do, yeah. do quite a good job. But I did put a picture on afterwards of us on FaceTime together during the quiz, and people thought it was rigged, thought I was helping you. But
no.
You know, if people know my level of knowledge, and well, the knowledge is there, I just can't remember it.
Yeah, but if anything, if I was asking you for help, I would have got fewer points, I think. So
exactly, you would have lost if we were doing it together. So confirmation, I wasn't helping. We just sometimes hook up when these kind of things are on, just for the bants.
And the other thing to mention about the quiz was I really enjoyed some of the rounds, actually. There was a really good round. It was expertly put together by Neil Sloan from Communicore. And one of the rounds he had on there was playing clips from that day's breakfast shows. And you had to work out from like a 10, 15 second clip what the station was. I thought that was fascinating.
That was a really good idea. And that was the Radio Today round.
That was the Radio Today round. Yeah, here's Scott, actually, giving that a mention.
This is round six, and it's called Radio Today. This is Radio Today with a small t. Apologies, Roy and Stuart. It's not about everyone's favourite radio industry website. It's actually another round, which is audio.
Right, let's talk about some other stuff that's been going on this week. And shock, horror, didn't see this coming. Graham Norton has signed for Virgin Radio.
I didn't actually see it coming. I thought you were all talking a load of baloney. I thought Graham Norton will never leave the Radio 2 show and join commercial radio. But he has done, or is doing, which is surprising. And listening back to that clip that you've put up online, if you're listening to it now, looking back, you think, oh, yeah, it's obvious that was when he was in the building to sign the deal.
Well, Graham was on Chris Evans's breakfast show at the end of September. So this is like 6 weeks ago. And he was on for a good hour and a bit. They played one song in that time and took a couple of news breaks. But there was a good 8 minutes of it where they were chatting about radio, and in particular, Chris trying to get Graham to sign for Virgin. So here's a small sample if you've not heard it.
Do all your guests just gush about how lovely it is here?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so I won't. I won't talk about how early it is, and I won't talk about how lovely it is.
Many of them stay, and that's why we've turned the 16th floor into a residential. But of course, you can see your house from here.
I know.
So it's even more convenient for when you leave the BBC.
Stop. I'll look at your schedule and I'll spot the low-hanging fruit.
I mean, how is the income paper at the BBC? Is there an in for us here?
What, with me?
Yes.
No, I'm very happy at the BBC. You know, it's where...
Say it like you mean it.
No, it's where the show works. No, it's true. Yeah. It's true. And because, you know, you get moments when people talk to you and you get to make a choice.
Yes.
You kind of like, I could leave this place and go somewhere else. And you know, we've thought about that very seriously, not that long ago. But in the end, it's a BBC show.
Yeah.
And I think if you take it somewhere else...
This is the TV show you're
talking about. Yeah, the TV show. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about the TV show. This is a radio station. It's a radio station, I'm going to say. Okay. Unfold your arms, pass him the contract, and a pen. Rachel, you provide the pen. That's why she provide the pen. That's why you're here. I mean, you know, we'll talk about your book all week if you sign that piece of paper. You know, I mean, would it be a weekend show you'd be after still, or...?
No, like I say, I'm going to go away now. I'm going to get the Radio Times, and I'm going to look at your schedule.
Okay.
I'll see what's available.
Please do. Lock the doors. He's not signed yet. Chief Meerkat said, do not let him out of the building, Evans. Okay. There's a little piece of fresh cake in it for you, if you get him to sign on the
door. Finder's faith.
Oh, we'd love you to come and work here. We really would.
Well, honestly, it is lovely, I have to say.
Your deal is lovely. Your deal is lovely.
No, well, this is lovely. No, I haven't seen my deal yet.
Okay, your deal's gorgeous. Yeah, you could eat it.
Just whilst we've been listening to that, I've been looking through the press releases, and I think I missed the one where they appointed Chris Evans as PD of Virgin Radio. I think I missed that one. When did that happen?
Yeah, no, I don't think Chris is the PD, but...
Chief Hire and Fire, no?
No, yeah, but he was talking about the Chief Meerkat, I think, which is his way of describing Rebecca Brooks. So, I think that's who he's talking about. If he isn't, then I apologise for that.
So, if you want a job on Virgin Radio, just book yourself as a guest on the Chris Evans Breakfast Show, and you never know where it could lead to.
Yeah, quite. So Graham's going to finish just before Christmas on Radio 2, and then he'll be joining Virgin Radio for Saturdays and Sundays in the new year. We don't know what time slot yet. I'm guessing it's going to be Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, but who knows?
Yeah, it'll be like 10 till 1 or something, won't it?
Another departure from Radio 2 just announced this week is Claire Teal, who's been there like 15 years. She does Big Band Special on a Sunday night, and that will end in early January. Some other interesting BBC news about some additional local radio services. So everywhere else across the BBC, they seem to be cutting budgets, but we're going to get three extra BBC local, hyper-local services.
Well, the details are a bit sketchy on this. The press release says, doesn't say radio stations, but radio output, with special content, local, hyper-local content for Bradford, Wolverhampton and Sunderland.
Oh.
Yeah, saying these are the areas that don't quite get served quite well, but Bradford, you know, just being a suburb of Leeds, gets quite a lot of coverage on Radio Leeds.
I think that's Richard Horseman, and all the listeners in Bradford just turned you off and shouted at the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
There.
And Wolverhampton, also known as North Birmingham, also gets quite good coverage from WM. And Sunderland, maybe I'll give them Sunderland, because there's quite a distinction there between Newcastle and Sunderland.
I think you need to go back to school. Wolverhampton's in the west of Birmingham, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's a suburb. And then, but surely you'd concentrate on other areas that don't quite get coverage or aren't quite as close to the main studios of these BBC local radio stations. Like, if it was Lancashire, you'd do, I don't know, Morecambe or, you know, Barrow, because that's like 3 million miles away from the centre of Lancashire.
That's probably because it's
Barrow's,
in Cumbria.
Yeah, Barrow's
did
in Cumbria
not,
now,
did you not go to school?
Hang on a minute. They moved it. They moved it.
Whatever.
But you know what I mean. Well, my point stands that they could use Barrow for Cumbria, because that's also a million miles away from Carlisle.
It is, yeah.
So, that's a very bad geographical error for me, and I hope you'll edit that bit out in the post-production.
It's definitely staying in, just like the reference to Bradford being in Leeds.
Well, that's true. That is. It's just a part. There's a football chant, isn't there, about Burnley and Blackburn.
Right.
Talking of Burnley, Turf Moor, safe place and all that.
Happy
you're just
place.
A small
it's
town.
Not a safe place. It's a happy place.
The people in, whatever, the people in Blackburn. No, the people in Burnley shout, "You're just a small town in Burnley," or something like that to the Rovers supporters. I'm not a football person, but I've heard that along the line somewhere.
Well, it should be interesting. We're talking about BBC Local Radio, funnily. They did this kind of Bradford One Extra spin-off last year that popped up on my DAB here in the Bradford district. So I suppose that was their little trial for it. So it might be that it's not like a BBC Local Radio station. It might be affiliated to something like One Extra.
And some of these stations are going to be on DAB as well. And there are going to be more areas. I did ask twice, in fact, and got told the same standard response twice. So they haven't announced where the rest of them are going to be or what frequencies or multiplexes they're going to be on. But time will tell on this one, so watch this space. Sounds interesting, though.
And there are certain areas of the country as well where there used to be splits in BBC Local Radio. You mentioned Dorset, but, you know, Cambridgeshire, I lived in Cambridgeshire for a bit, and there was separate programmes for Peterborough on the Peterborough transmitter from Peterborough Studios, and they don't exist anymore. So there'll be some counties saying, well, why can't we have this back? We used to have it before.
I mentioned Dorset before we started recording, by the way, for anybody who's thinking they missed that. But also Cheshire, you know, Cheshire was going to have one, wasn't it? But it never happened. And Durham as well. Durham did happen and then it changed, but you get the point.
I've no idea what's real and what happened off there anymore. I'm so confused.
Safe place, happy place.
Happy place. The happy place. The Community Radio Awards are out. The nominations are out for 2020. Winners can be announced in a virtual awards ceremony happening next month. Nice to see on there Best Female Presenter nominee Julie Donaldson from Zetland FM. Of course, we mentioned her on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Julie died at the end of October from COVID. She was only 50. She won the Best Female a couple of years ago. She won Best Community Programme last year. And that'd be lovely for her to win that posthumously at the Community Radio Awards this year. But obviously, good luck to all the other nominees in that category as well. Very richly deserved.
Yeah, good luck. Always a good event. Which will be, of course, online this year. Did you see Jordan in the shower? Sorry, I just wanted to say that. It was Jordan North,
Vernon,
of course.
With Vernon Kay, yeah.
With Vernon Kay, yeah. Can I just say this happy place?
Happy place.
Turf Moor that Jordan kept talking about. Both you and I have worked at 2BR and had relations professionally with Turf Moor, and you go out of choice now for some reason. But Turf Moor, you know, we've both been there. How can that possibly be a happy place?
It's a bit cold sometimes, especially on a winter's evening game.
And it's in the middle of Burnley, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but it's, says the lad from Blackburn, says the Yorkshireman here as well. But when you're a fan of it, you've not been a football fan, have you? But when you are a fan of a football team and you go every week, then it is your kind of escapism and it is your happy place, you know. And, you know, the last few years, Burnley have been doing quite well. They've been winning games. So I think this season, really? Perhaps it's not such a happy place. But but there we go.
So it's equivalent to a studio then for a fellow geeks.
So you might say, you know, happy place, Leicester Square or One Golden Square or New Broadcasting House or something like that.
I'm sure everybody who works there does.
So still to come on the podcast, we are going to talk a bit more about Jordan on I'm a Celebrity. We'll talk to Daryl Morris from Talk Radio, who used to live with Jordan, and so we'll find out about that. And we're also in a minute going to hear from Johnny Beerling as he's preparing to go back on the air as a presenter for the first time in more than 60 years. It's coming up next on the Radio Today programme. We'll speak to you next week, right?
60? How old is he? He's not been on air for 60 years.
He's 83.
My goodness. Get him on. Let's hear his story.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme, and a special guest this week to talk about his return to the air after 60-odd years.
64 years, to be exact.
64 years. It's Johnny Beerling. People might remember you as the controller of Radio 1 and a long time at Radio 1, but many people might not know you started out as a presenter.
That's right. I was in the Air Force doing my national service, Stuart. Nice to be with you, by the way. They said, would you like to be in charge of the technical side of AFBA, the Aidan Forces Broadcasting Association? And I said, oh, yes, that sounds like fun. They said, the only thing is you have to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and present the early morning show and the breakfast time. And then we relayed the BBC overseas, the general overseas service of the BBC from 8 till 8:30. And then we'd shut down again till tea time because the climate was so hot in Aden that the working day was from 7 till 1 and then the afternoons were free. So the radio station broadcast mornings and then again in the evenings and all day the weekends. Wow. So it was great fun and I just loved it. And I was so lucky. It was really through that I got into the BBC because a man came along and he said, I'm checking on the reception of the General Overseas Service and can I take you to lunch? And there I was, 19 years old. I thought, my first ever business lunch. And I said, I don't really want to be a school teacher, which was my fate. I said, I'd like to get in the BBC. Well, I'll put a word in for you when I get back. You can join as a technical operator. And I thought that was like working in the studio, doing sound mixing and playing records. I found out the hard way it wasn't. It was the bowels of the control room.
And the rest is history. And then so when you got to the BBC, you obviously were a technical operator and a studio manager and then a producer and executive producer, ending up as controller of Radio 1. So, you know, as you say, it's the 50s since you did presenting and now you're going to go back to it at Serenade Radio. How's this all come about?
Well, David Lloyd's a friend of mine and he was telling me about Serenade Radio and I started to listen. It was very much like the old BBC Light programme back in the days when I first joined, 1957. And I got more and more enthusiastic and we got chatting and he said, you know, I'd like to do a big band series. Do you know anyone that could do it? And I said, well, actually, I could do it. And so he said, well, why don't you give it a try? So we did a little test and I hadn't forgotten quite how to do it. And so he said, right, let's start. So I had to learn. I mean, things have changed a lot since I used to play acetate discs and cut quarter-inch tape with a yellow pencil to mark it and edit and things like that. Now we have voice tracking. My goodness, what a difference.
Yeah, so you're going to be on air on a Sunday night, starting from this weekend, 6 till 7, with your big band special. And it's kind of music that isn't really getting played much on the radio these days, because even Radio 2, I think, is going to stop doing some of its big band stuff.
I know, and I love big bands. You know, I grew up with them when I was a teenager, before I even went into the Air Force. I used to go to the old Coronation Ballroom in Ramsgate and watch the Ted Heath band with Dickie Valentine, Dennis Lotus and Lita Rosa, of course, and I thought that was absolutely wonderful. So years later, when they made me a producer, I said, can I book the Ted Heath band? And they said, you book who you like, you're the producer. So I suddenly had this man whom I worshipped from afar, you know, he was working for me and with me, and we used to record, because of the needle time restrictions, everything had to be recorded in BBC studios to make up the shortage of music. So the Ted Heath band was recorded by me every other week to go into Music to Midnight with the late John Donne, which was great fun. And another nice thing about it was that Ted's son, Tim, was a schoolboy in those days, but he used to come to the studio to watch his father's band. And Tim married one of the Radio 1 secretaries, Pat, and I'm still friendly with them after all these days. In fact, one of my lectures that I do when cruise ships are operating and I work on is about the history of the Ted Heath band. And Tim cooperated with me and got out the family memorabilia and photographs and everything to make the lecture a big success.
So when you're looking for a big band show presenter, somebody like you certainly knows their stuff. I mean, you're 83 now, Johnny. And in terms of the radio landscape, things have obviously changed since you were a big executive yes. at Radio 1. But, you know, what is catering for you as a listener in your 80s now?
Well, my own collection. I still play CDs and even play vinyl albums occasionally. I always love big band music and country music. It is really my favourite, I suppose. I don't listen to much popular music anymore. Classic FM, Radio 4, it tends to be much of my listening.
And Serenade seems to be carving out a bit of a niche for people of your generation, not only as presenters, but as listeners who remember those days of the Light programme and, you know, feel that other radio stations are perhaps not doing anything that interests them.
That's right. I think Andy Marriott has got a great deal of experience and enthusiasm for the old Light programme. In fact, he still runs Music While You Work and Sings Something Simple on the network. And it really does have that lovely nostalgic feel.
What are you most looking forward to about being back on air, back in front of a microphone after all this time?
Oh, it's wonderful. I always take as a motto something I used to say to my presenters, something that the late Roger Scott said, you know, I've found this great piece of music and I can't wait to get to this huge gramophone and share it with all my friends who are listening. And I feel like that about these, you know, I keep listening to different tracks and thinking that'll be a great one to put in, and looking up little stories about them. And so it's interesting to research it all, and I just love the sound of the music and the driving rhythm section and the loud brass. I'm a bit hard of hearing now, so I like the loud brass.
And you know the danger is, don't you, that all those Radio 1 presenters that you used to, you know, critique and be their boss over the years, they're going to be tuning into your show and snooping you and sending their feedback. That's going to happen.
I hope so. David Hamilton's one of my neighbours. I'm sure he'll be listening.
Well, we wish you lots of luck with it. So 6 o'clock Sunday night on Serenade Radio, which is online and also on DAB in Dorset. Johnny Beeling, a new presenter at the age of 83.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
Still to come, we'll talk about Jordan North. Daryl Morris will be on in a second. First, though, a reminder about Clean Feed. It's great if you're planning something for when you get out of lockdown in the run-up to Christmas, maybe doing an OB from Santa's Grotto or something like that, or an interview or something for your podcast. If you've not sorted out the best way of connecting with guests yet or fellow presenters, Clean Feed has been designed for radio and for podcasts, and it's really simple to connect in decent quality live over the internet just using a browser. You can even record it all within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. There is a completely free version as well as the paid for pro version. So get signed up today and you'll be doing your first live interview, bit for your show or recording for your podcast within a few minutes. You can find out more at cleanfeed.net. Radio Today.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So, after last night's episode, we've got four radio people now on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Ruthie Henshaw from Magic at the Musicals is joining the gang, along with Vernon Kay and Victoria Derbyshire, and of course, Jordan North from Radio 1. And we can have a word with one of Jordan's friends, his former flatmate. It's Talk Radio's Daryl Morris. Hi, Daryl.
Hello there, Stu. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And you've had a mention on the show already. Tell us about your... Tell us about your Super Saturday night in 2012.
Yeah, not overly pleased about this one. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Yeah. If you've missed Jordan on the show, he effectively confessed that that he and I had missed the big night at the Olympics where Mo Farah and I think it was Jessica Ennis and Greg Rutherford, I think, as well. Yep. Got all their big medals. It was Super Saturday. It was a massive moment of sporting history. And we decided to watch a film instead and get a pizza. Because we watched... Jordan was right. He told this story in the camp, in the castle. And he was right because we'd watched the Olympics all day, every day. Like the rest of the nation, right? Yeah. For the whole week in the run-up. And I said, do you know, I'm a bit fatigued. I'm not sure if I could watch another javelin be thrown across some grass, to be honest. Let's just have a night off. And of course, we picked the night off. So what happened then was, at the end of the night, my girlfriend at the time, who was also living with us, obviously, she'd been out for the evening, but she'd been with some friends and been watching it with some friends. And she burst through the door and said, oh my God, what an incredible night. You know, did you see it? What did you think? And Jordan and I were sort of nodding along, pretending to know what we were talking about. And I went onto Twitter, and I was scrolling through Twitter, and obviously Twitter was alive with it, and it was evident that something absolutely spectacular had happened, and we were the only people in the country, basically, that had missed it. So Jordan and I made a pact that night, Stu, right? We said to each other, whatever happens... we will never tell anybody that we missed the Super Saturday night at the Olympics 2012 because we were watching No Vacancy and eating the terrible pizza. We made that pact. And I never anticipated Jordan would break that pact, not least break that pact, by literally telling Mo Farah on national television. So, yeah, not best pleased.
Well, if it's any consolation, I was in a pub near Burnley that night, so I wasn't sat at home watching it either, but there we go. The nation already in the first few nights has grown to love Jordan. I think he's doing all right. I think he'll do well in this.
Oh, I think he's doing spectacularly well. Spectacularly well. And you know, I said a couple of times, we were talking about this on my talk radio show over the weekend, and we had a couple of former I'm a Celebrity contestants on, and they were all giving sort of relatively similar advice, which was be yourself, you know, the warm, funny people do well, the true, real, honest, genuine types are the ones that get far and, you know, and end up winning or, you know, come across really well and come out of it really well, whatever that is. I remember just thinking at the time, like, you know, he's really, really perfect for this show. He's really perfect for it. He is absolutely bang up that street of just being sort of really genuine, really warm, really funny, a bit ridiculous, you know, kind of just, you know, very haphazard, a bit of a walking disaster. The stories that he tells on Radio 1, the stuff with the podcast. And this is him, by the way. Like, you know, I've had several people have reached out to me. I've had a lot of people messaging me saying, you know, is he putting this on? What is this? Is this a joke? And I can honestly tell you with my hand on my heart that what you are seeing is the Jordan North. This is properly true to who he is. And he's brilliant at it. He's just brilliant. It's perfect for him. Perfect. Yeah.
And we know working in the media as well, it's like the old Big Brother, isn't it? That it's you know, the cameras are on them all the time and it's edited into a shorter snippets of bits for the telly. So the stuff where he comes out with, you know, I haven't changed my pants for 3 days, you know, that's going to get on the telly when you say something like that.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that as well, the fact that you are being watched 24 hours a day, the fact that you are in this for, you know, I think they're all going to be in there for at least a week or two, aren't they, before they start doing the evictions and stuff. You cannot get away with not being genuine, really. And you soon see with these programs, and I think, look, let's be honest about it, it's a really great example of why that old cliche is so true for the radio about being yourself, right? It's the first thing that you're taught, isn't it, when you do radio? Yep. Be yourself. And the reason that you're told to be yourself is that if you are going to go anywhere with your radio career, if you are going to be a success and you are not yourself, you will eventually be found out. You will. Because there is just nowhere to hide these days. And he is sort of living proof of that, really. And this show is living proof. And also kind of just in general, radio presenters going on to reality shows is living proof that, because there are plenty of examples. I'm not going to name any of them, but there are plenty of examples of radio
every
presenters.
Year on Strictly and on Nine Celebrities totally. As well. There's always radio people.
There is, and there's lots of examples of them just not doing that well or not quite coming across as the way that they come across on the radio, because perhaps it's not, you know, sometimes it's not fairly edited for them or whatever else, but they're not being true to themselves. Ian Lee is a brilliant example of that. Ian Lee is raw, genuine, totally real, and so of course he was a success on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and it's the same for Jordan.
So is there anything else we're going to learn about him that we don't know yet that you know from all the time you've spent with him?
Oh, lots of things. I feel his PR team breathing down my neck, and him. I feel him. I know that I just don't want to get into trouble with him when he gets out of the jungle. I'm trying to be so careful what I say about him for when he gets out. But this is the thing about Jordan, is that there are just endless... I didn't know that he'd wet the bed until he was 15, apparently. That was news to me tonight on the show. There are endless stories, endless stories. And, you know, I think that Jordan's real win here is in his genuine warmth and his charm and his humour and his kind-heartedness. There was a really special part on the show tonight where Beverly Callard looked down the barrel of the camera in that kind of room bit that they do, you know, the sort of diary room bit that they do, and just said there's something really special about Jordan. He's just really warm and really kind. And Michaela and I and my girlfriend looked at each other, because Michaela's quite good friends with him as well, and we just looked at each other and just said, hallelujah, absolutely. I'm so glad that that's been recognised by the campmates, but also that it's coming across on the television, because that is exactly who he is. Just so kind, so loving, so warm, so caring, so genuine. It's a real treat, actually, just to have the nation be introduced to him in this kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's so passionate about radio. I know there's times I've spoken to him before. I was direct messaging him about a month ago, and he was going to come on this week's podcast, spookily, which obviously he hasn't done now. So we'll have to get him on
instead
at some point. Yeah, sorry about that.
Stu, listen, I know my place. My place for the rest of both of our careers.
Jordan's friend.
Yes, it's going to be in Jordan's shadow. I'm okay with that. I'm at peace with that.
Yeah, we both know how much he loves radio and how proud he is to be on Radio 1, even though it's only 2 or 3 days a week or whatever. What do you think this will do for his career? He'll want to stay in radio. He won't want to go off and be a TV star, will he?
Well, he's a radio guy through and through. He's a radio guy to his absolute core. Like a lot of us, he got bitten by that bug when he was a kid and has just wanted to do nothing other than radio, really, actually. World is oyster, isn't it? World is his oyster from here. I mean, you know, he has just come across so brilliantly in this first couple of days that I think he can do whatever he wants to do. I'm sure he'll want to just carry on doing the radio, I suppose, but you know, he is there's very, very big things ahead for him. Very, very big things.
And it's great seeing all the positive love for him on social media. I think the last few days, you know, and Twitter is what it is, but the last few days it's gone all smiley and all, you know, with the memes and the, you know, the hashtags and everything, the happy place and all that kind of stuff. So if anything, he's helped make Twitter a nicer place, certainly on my timeline.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was his Radio 1 colleague, Katie Thistleton, tweeted the other day saying, you know, actually, this is just what we needed. We just needed I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, some fantastic Jordan memes to bring Twitter together and to make it a nice place again, to give us something to smile about. And it's a brilliant, I mean, you know, for that reason as well, it's also a brilliant series to be on. Brilliant, brilliant series to be on for all of them, for all of the contestants there and for everybody involved in the production of it, because it is a cornerstone of us sort of dragging ourselves to the end of this year, isn't it? You know, it's going to be such a huge hit. The viewing figure is already huge, and it will certainly go down in history. So it's a good one. I did when it was first announced, when Jordan first told me that he was going to be on, I think a lot of us thought, oh mate, I can't believe you've missed out on going to Australia. That's absolutely devastating that you're going to have to do it from a castle in Wales. But I think it's turned out for the best.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been eating Cheeps Willy in Australia, would he? So, yeah.
Exactly.
Nice to catch up with you, Daryl. And it's great to know that you're supporting the Burnley fan Jordan over Bolton's Vernon Kay this year as well. So, you know, that's important to know.
That's difficult, actually. That actually is hurting ever so slightly, I must admit. And it is, you know, Stu, it is etched into our birth certificates when we're from Bolton that we have to support fellow Boltonians at every turn. So I am also Team Vernon for sure.
Nice to speak to you. We'll speak to you soon. Cheers, Daryl.
Thank you, Stu.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassio.